want to start a show of Glenn called the TBM Whisperer.
My God, we were talking about how Glenn could channel the TBM point. That never have I been more impressed.
Holy shit, that was amazing.
With Glenn's ability to channel the TBM then, or the apologist than then.
Yeah, because I felt completely confused and yet totally comforted at the same time.
This is Infants on Thrones. The philosophies of men mingled with humor. We are the core.
Hello, and welcome back to Infants on Thrones. I'm the TBM Whisperer, and this is what's topping my Facebook trending feed today, November 3rd, 2014. Lena Dunham responds to accusations that she sexually abused her sister. Oh my, well, I kind of hesitantly clicked on this one, more out of love and compassion for Sister Dunham than for anything else. And I immediately saw a picture of a woman with green hair. Now, I don't really think that the brethren would approve of green hair. It's just not natural. But I guess this Dunham woman is a writer, and she has some kind of TV show on HBO called Girls. HBO... It's enough said. And I think there's nudity and bad language on the show, too. So I really felt uncomfortable reading further. But she wrote a memoir, and here's what she said about herself as a 7-year-old girl regarding her relationship that was kind of an inappropriate relationship with her little sister. And this comes from page 150 of her book. Quote, "As she grew, I took to bribing her for her time and affection. $1 in quarters if I could do her makeup like a motorcycle chick, 3 pieces of candy if I could kiss her on the lips for 5 seconds, whatever she wanted to watch on TV if she would just, quote, relax on me, unquote. Basically, anything a sexual predator might do to woo a small suburban girl, I was trying," end quote. Now, Sister Dunham also describes prying open her little sister's private lady parts just out of curiosity, and sometimes even she would masturbate in the bed while laying next to her sister. So the reason this is in the news is because Sister Dunham is upset that people have read what she wrote and that they're accusing her of being a sexual predator and of sexually abusing her little sister. So I just thought I probably need to TBM whisper the situation here because, you know, even though this is really bad stuff, really, really bad, there is hope. But clearly this is what happens when someone's raised outside of the gospel, right? I mean, we all know that Heavenly Father gives us instructions and commandments so that we can avoid these kinds of things in our lives and in our families with our children. And Sister Dunham wasn't raised in a home that had the gospel. She didn't have access to those divine safety instructions. And, you know, it's really unfortunate because she did this when she was 7 years old, right? Before she reached the age of accountability. And if she was raised Mormon, then she would have been baptized at 8. And those sins and many, many others, I'm sure, would have been just washed away. And after her baptism, she would have been the cleanest, most purest, most whitest person in the room at that point. Which, I mean, before the age of accountability, sins aren't really supposed to count, I guess. But then again, 8-year-olds are baptized and made clean, so those sins must count for something. And in Sister Dunham's case, she's still, unfortunately, carrying those around. And now she's sharing them with the whole world and trying to normalize behavior that, I don't know. And then she gets angry when people say that she is what she herself said she was in that book. So, I don't know. I guess it just must be really, really hard not to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So we really need to get our missionary efforts out there to help more people, and maybe I'll fast for her next month. Okay, on to the next story. Brittany Maynard ends her own life. Now, this was another really sad one to read. Now, this was that really pretty 29-year-old brunette who had brain cancer, and she chose to end her life with dignity, she says, you know, rather than wait and suffer until the end. But, you know, again, obviously, Heavenly Father had some kind of a reason and some kind of a plan for her to experience that brain cancer in the first place. Now, we don't really know what it was. Maybe it was for her, something she needed to learn about herself, or maybe it was for the people around her that they had to learn something from their interactions with her. But rather than pray and find out what Heavenly Father wanted for her, she just rested on her own wisdom and, you know, she ended it. I mean, how do you know that the missionaries wouldn't have found her next month and given her a blessing and healed her, you know, like that Benny kid in God's Army? So that experience could become a faith-promoting story for others, but now it's kind of too late. And hopefully someone will do her proxy baptismal work for her as soon as possible. I think you have to wait about a year, or else maybe I'd do it myself or get my sister to do it for me. But, you know, she's going to have to pay the price in spirit prison for what she's done for a while. But the really cool thing about the gospel is that she doesn't have to suffer forever. There's still hope, even after death. We just need to get her temple work done for her because, you know, even though she really shouldn't have done this thing, God still totally loves her. And I think that's the important message here. Even if she went against his will and took her own life and went against what he had planned for her, God still loves her. And we can still show that love by helping her with our temple work for her so she doesn't have to suffer forever. And finally, the last story, there is a Grumpy Cat Christmas movie coming for the Christmas season.
My Christmas wish, I wish I'd meet a friend, one on whom I can depend.
Who, me? You really screwed up your big wish.
Kay.
For anyone that loves Christmas stories about...
Here we go.
Goodwill.
I don't care.
Joy.
No.
And peace to all.
Fail.
Then...
You are a loser.
Are you serious?
Of course I'm serious. Look at my face.
This Christmas...
You were talking to me.
What are you, some kind of blonde witch?
I heard all of that.
Stop it.
You stop it.
You stop it, witch.
When it comes to the holiday spirit...
Don't get sappy on me. Wait, I forgot. It's a Lifetime movie.
All pets are off.
Dude, grab that cat.
Puppy, no!
They don't even make paintball guns for cats.
Get out of here, British grumpy cat!
Aubrey Plaza brings the internet sensation to life.
This is the best Christmas ever.
Go ahead, ignore the title of my movie.
Grumpy Cat's Worst Christmas Ever.
Jingle bells, Christmas smells.
Saturday, November 29th at 8 on Lifetime.
Now, the Grumpy Cat was a kind of YouTube star. I don't know. I didn't really watch it because I pretty much stopped watching any videos on YouTube after I saw those really sacrilegious Brother Jake videos. But this Grumpy Cat thing has really caught on, I guess, and it's going to be voiced by the actress Aubrey Plaza, who, you know, I really used to like until I found out that she was a lesbian. Which is too bad because she's really pretty too, but I don't know what to make of this movie because obviously the true meaning of Christmas is totally going to get lost here. I mean, maybe this is just another volley in the war against Christmas, but to make it all worse, the Grumpy Cat really is just a bad example for our children. You know, it makes complaining and grumpiness seem cute and cool, which... I don't know. That's probably what the devil's going for on this one. But where's the mention of Jesus? Or even of Joseph Smith's birthday? I guarantee that it won't be there. You know, why couldn't Hollywood make a decent Christmas movie for once? Like a remake of Mr. Kruger's Christmas. You know, he was grumpy until he met that little Mormon girl. Now that's a movie I'd love to see. So, thanks for listening. And tune in again for whenever I decide to TBM whisper other important world Facebook trending news. Whisper out. Prayer.
Hi, this is Nancy from Minneapolis, Minnesota, the great white north of the United States. You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com. And if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes. I did. And if you act fast, you could put your review right next to mine, and we could be buddies! Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.